that the elders have put before the congregation an opportunity, a challenge, if you will, to give extra to four worthy works before the end of the year. I want to mention those briefly, and this will tie into Josh's lesson this morning. The first one listed in your bulletin is Rod Kyle. Rod is a missionary. He's from New Zealand. He works in New Zealand year-round. And he also does three, I believe it is, month-long campaigns, mission work to the Solomon Islands. Solomon Islands are in the South Pacific. I believe it's off the eastern coast of Australia. And this work, Rod came here a few months ago. He met with the elders. We feel like it's a very good work. And he comes, I believe it's once every 4 years, to the United States to report, to raise money for these campaigns and also for the work that's in New Zealand. And so we do believe it's a good work. We believe it's a good opportunity. The second one is Brother Peter Masia. He is an elder at the Bryan College Station Church of Christ. We know many of the members of this congregation. Brother Masia drives a pretty good distance every Sunday in order to attend, and he actually is an elder, as I said, at the Bryan College Station Church of Christ, and there's not a faithful congregation nearby where he lives. I'm not sure how far it is. I think it's around 60 miles, but it's a pretty good trip that he drives in each Sunday. He is a Pakistani by nationality, and he has family in Pakistan. He'll be returning there to do some mission work, to help establish some congregations. This is obviously not a part of the world that many of us would be willing to travel to. And I know several in this congregation know Brother Masia, are friends with him on Facebook. Again, I think this is a very worthy work. Peyton will be going with Trent's group every year at spring break. Trent takes a group of folks down, Trent Kennedy takes a group to Jamaica. Abby Hall, Josh have both participated in prior years in this campaign, and Peyton will be going this year. And then lastly, Glenn Langston, which you should be familiar with. He has a unique ministry, ministering to those who are visually impaired. We support Glenn on a regular basis, and over the last few years, you know, he's lost some support, and they've struggled a bit financially. And so here at the end of the year, we're just given the opportunity to help them out and catch them up, give them a little bit of a boost. We think all of these are good works, and we hope that you will do what you can to support these works. If you want to, just you can give a check to one of the elders or to Velton. Just mark it that that's what it's for, and you have until the end of the year to contribute to that.
Good morning. Beautiful morning that the Lord has blessed us with to be able to come together to have this morning. Enjoyed the singing. Enjoyed being here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Couldn't think of a better place to be this morning. We've just participated in a few of the acts of worship as are outlined in the New Testament. We have been led in prayer. We have sung praises to our God. We have partaken of the bread and the fruit of the vine, and then we have just concluded the giving of our means. And I want to talk about that last one this morning. This is not a sermon necessarily that is preached that often, at least not one that I've heard, or really, to be honest, one that I've preached myself. This is not something that we hear a whole lot. But friends, we understand that any organization has to have money to carry on its work. And the church is no exception. It never has been an exception, even from the day of its inception on the day of Pentecost. You see very quickly there, even at the end of Acts chapter 2, that they were already sharing with one another. You look at Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, and you see the Christians giving unto one another. They were, even Acts 5, they were selling property and coming and giving the money to the apostles so that they could distribute it among the Christians in need. And friends, this was a need, even as we see with Paul later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. By the way, if you want to be turning there, we'll get there in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. But here, Paul is writing to the Corinthians sometime in A.D. 55, A.D. 56, somewhere in that area. So we're some 20 years past, 22, 23 years past the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. They had a need then, and here we are 20, almost 25 years down the road, and the need is still there. And he's calling upon Gentile Christians in Acts 6, or 1 Corinthians 16 to give to see that these needs are met. Now we'll get there in just a moment, but keep that bookmark in your mind. Now what we see in the New Testament, friends, is that God has given us the perfect pattern for church finance within its pages. And we understand from what we see as Paul commanded that giving be done upon the first day of the week that it is indeed an act of worship. That it is something that we are to participate in. Now friends, giving, as we read the Old Testament, giving the best of one's herd or flock for sacrifice was an act of worship in the old. And here we see in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 again, that giving as God has prospered us is that act of worship that we have now in the New Testament. Now in our particular lesson this morning, we're going to study giving as that act of worship, and also we're going to see that our giving of our means upon the first day of the week is the only means by which God has authorized us to raise money for the work of the church. Now, as we begin this morning, as we talk about our study, I want us to consider some things. When we look at the religious world around us, no doubt you've had someone knock on your door, or you've been going into Walmart or some other store here in town, and you'll be approached by someone from a denomination asking for a donation. Maybe you see someone, I know I have, sitting there at the door of Walmart, and they've got these wooden crosses and things for sale, and it's all going toward a denominational cause. And so we'll see denominations have these fundraisers, if you will, like that, selling candy bars, selling wares of such. And so they're using these means to raise money. We don't find the apostles, we don't find the first century church doing those types of things, friends, within the pages of the New Testament. We find denominations that practice tithing, that is giving 10% of a person's income. Now, under the old law, that was indeed commanded, Numbers 18 and verse 21. But, friends, we understand from Colossians 2 and verse 14 that that law was nailed to the cross. And so while tithing was commanded in the Old Testament, you see nothing about it in the New. Now, you have man-made churches as well that use gimmicks to get people to give. You'll have not congregations, but denominational churches, that will have a bingo night. Church sanctioned gambling, if you will. You have raffles or walk-a-thons, they're all common, or bake sales, bazaars, car washes, auctions are all used from time to time. There are still other denominations that receive a lot of their support from investments and business. The Catholic Church, for one, has billions of dollars invested. I've been told, I haven't looked at it myself, but I've been told, and I believe my source is reliable, that the Roman Catholic Church pretty much owns the media and other things in Italy. And so a lot of their income comes from such. The Mormon Church is one of the richest in the world because of its ownership of property and businesses. But friends, we don't have those things authorized or even an example of those things in the New Testament. So what is God's pattern for giving within the pages of the New Testament? I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 and 2. Let's notice that passage here together. Paul writes, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." What is Paul saying? Again, notice that as he mentions these things, as he puts this method into place, as we see within here the pages of 1 Corinthians 16, these verses, first couple of verses here, that he's giving them a specific time for one upon the first day of the week when you come together. And he's telling them a specific amount too, isn't he? Now he doesn't say put $10 in the plate. He doesn't say $100 or $1,000. What does he say? As you've prospered. Okay, so I have prospered such and such this week, and so Paul says, you give a portion of that. Okay, that's the command that Paul gives. Now what do we know about Paul, the apostle? We read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37 that he was writing as an inspired apostle. What do we know about 1 Corinthians then? It is an inspired book. Peter refers to the scriptures that Paul wrote as scripture. And so we understand that these things, while Paul wrote them, who are they from? God. And so we understand then that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, who do they apply to even now? Me. Okay, so just as he gave the command to the Corinthian church, he's giving it to me today. Now understand as well that Paul's letter was addressed not only to the Corinthians, but also to all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Friends, when we come together to worship this morning, as we have sung praises to His name, as we have prayed by His authority, as we have partaken of His flesh and of His blood, and as we have given of our means this morning, and as we are studying the Scriptures together, we are calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Friends, these scriptures, this commandment applies to me. Now notice as well that the same instruction that he's giving to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, he had also already given to the churches of Galatia. There in verse 1. Paul didn't preach a different gospel to the Galatians, a different one to the Ephesians, and then a different one to the Corinthians. He preached to them all the same things. Now what was Paul's purpose? Again, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, friends, specifically, Paul is raising money, if you will, to send to the saints the Lord's church in Jerusalem and the surrounding area of Judea. You see, as we mentioned a moment ago, there was a specific need. Now Dennis, one of our elders, he just got up here, and he mentioned Rod Kyle, Peter Messiah, Peyton Reed, and Glenn Langston. But friends, all of these works, these four works are great works, and each of them have their needs in their own right, and we may, in our own minds, deem one greater than the other. Whatever the case, friends, all four of these works, all four of these men will be and have done and are doing good works. And they need our help, they need our support, and just as Paul was taking this time. Now, no doubt the Corinthians were going to need a portion of what they gave to finance their own operations, if you will, at home. But a portion of that was to go to the saints of Judea, the saints of Jerusalem. And so that's what Paul says. You do this on the first day of the week and you lay it by in store so that there be no gatherings. In other words, you don't have to have a special collection when I get there. You set this aside and you already have it. Friends, what our elders are doing here at the end of the year is they're asking you to set aside a little more. We can all, I'm sure, give a little more. We can challenge ourselves in that way. We can set aside just a little more. And if you want to designate for one of these four works, do that. Or if you want to give in such a way that the elders can take that and find which one is need is greatest at the time, you can do that. But if you'll notice in your bulletin, they have asked that if you put it in the plate, just mark it above and beyond so that they know that this is designated for one of those four works. Now, I want to pause for just a moment. I want to say something about each one of these four works. First of all, I'd never met Rod Kyle before he came a few months ago. But it was funny to me that as I began to talk to Brother Kyle that he and I had a lot of the same friends. We knew a lot of the same people. He's actually working with a couple who the wife in the relationship, Ashley and I actually know from Glendale. They're working there in New Zealand. He actually knows the son of the man who married my parents. And so it is indeed a small world. And so we had a great conversation with that. And I know a little bit about the work that goes on in New Zealand. And I know it's a great work, and they do a great work there. You have then Peter Mesia. I've never met Brother Mesia. I've heard a lot about him. I feel like I know him just from what I've been told about Brother Mesia. And friends, I long for the day that I get to meet such a man. But I want you to consider, as Dennis described for us a moment ago, where this man is going for just a moment. He's going into a Muslim country, for one. In this day of unrest, in the time of ISIS, in the time of this great immigration debate at this time, this refugee debate at this time, he's going to go over there and preach the gospel. When no doubt, being of Pakistan, being of Pakistani descent, they're going to scrutinize him. They're going to wonder why he's over there. Maybe is he going to meet with a faction of radicals or what is he doing? And friends, he's still going to go. How many of us would the prospect of that scare off? We have an opportunity to support a man that may possibly now be staring death in the face as he goes and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Peyton is going to Jamaica. I've been there. It was a wonderful experience. I tell you, you can go and knock, and we call it knocking on doors. You don't actually knock on doors over there. You go up to the front gate. And you holler out, and if somebody responds, you ask, here's how we set up Bible studies. I'm with such and such congregation, whatever congregation they're going to be with at that particular time. We're with that congregation, and we're out in the neighborhood just studying the Bible. Would you like to study the Bible today? It's that easy. About 75% of the time you get, I would love to study the Bible today. That same percentage would probably be down around 10 here. Because we're too busy. But at the same time, friends, many of us are too busy to take the gospel. Peyton's going to be able to do a great work. That entire group's going to be able to do a great work in Jamaica. And we have an opportunity to support that. Brother Glenn Langston came, I believe, about 3 years ago and visited with us. And I got to meet him at that time, and I can't believe that we don't have, and there may be, but Brother Glenn Langston is the only one that I know of doing this type of ministry. I don't know of anyone else doing this type of ministry. And he's trying to find technology that will help him to carry out these things better. They have a different Bible programs that our support can help him to get to help further this ministry. He's doing an outreach, friends, that is just, there's not much of one there. And so he needs, as well as these other three men, he needs our support. And so through this lesson, friends, I want you to understand what it is that we're trying to do here. Not just support the work of this particular congregation, but we're wanting this word to go out and to help others take it to the world. And through proxy, you will be in that way fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, as we're talking about, we see in Jerusalem and Judea that specific need. We have four specific needs that we're calling upon you through the end of the year to help us with here, as Paul was calling upon the Corinthians to help him with in Jerusalem and Judea. Now, what about the means of carrying out this method that we see in verse 2? Paul gives us again the when. Upon the first day of the week. Now, this is the day the disciples assembled to worship, and we get that from Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Now the Greek word kata, it signifies the first day of every week. You have a first day how many times? It comes around every week. And so, you know, and this is funny to me, just as a side note here, I don't want to get too far off, but you think about this. You have many denominations, we spoke about them a minute ago, that will give every first day of the week, but they don't partake of the Lord's Supper. Friends, you can't have it both ways, can you? And so we see them coming together to worship on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, and that is the time that Paul specifies that we are to give. Now, who is to give? Christians. Paul says, as he's writing to the Christians at Corinth, he says, let each one of you. Now, friends, giving, like singing, like communion, is an individual act which is done in the assembly of worship. I cannot give for another. Someone else cannot give for me. So Paul is specific as to the who is to give. What are we to give? Now the King James says, lay by him in store, or in other words, literally, lay something aside. Friends, what Paul is saying here is that each Christian has to separate a portion of his income to be given to the church. The Greek for in store literally means to put into the treasury. That's the idea. Again, he gives the how much, that is, as he may prosper. Now, friends, you think about this. This is much fairer than a tithe applied to everyone alike. The rich must give more, the poor give less, but all give as they have been prospered by God. That's the idea that Paul gives us there. Now, why are we to give? Again, Paul says we've got a specific need, but I'm coming, and when I come, I don't want you to have to gather everybody together. He may come during the middle of the week. How big of a hassle would it be for them to have to grab everybody, that maybe someone has gone to a different city on business, but now we have to try to get a hold of them and say, hey, Paul's here, we need the money now so that we can send him on to Jerusalem. Paul says, no, you lay by in store, you take it so there'll be no collections, you put it into the treasury so you already have it. So that we don't have to worry about these special collections, so to speak. Now, since the money was in a common treasury, no special effort, again, was going to have to be made to gather those funds, as would have been the case if they had each kept their own contribution at home. So this is the idea. Having a church treasury, friends, and a weekly offering assures us that funds are available when they're needed. Now, with all of that said, what are the principles that God giving? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Let's look at some principles that should guide our giving. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about their brethren in Macedonia. And he tells them how they had given out of their poverty. They didn't have a whole lot. But I want you to notice what Paul does say about them in verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, okay, so Paul says they didn't just give what we expected. Okay? Paul says, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. I think I've told this story before, maybe not in this particular setting. But there's a story, and I think it's, if not a specifically true story, I think it's based on a true story. There's a village in Africa where a missionary had gone in and he had pretty much converted the entire village. And they decided they needed a place to worship. They didn't have a building and the monsoon season was going to be upon them. And so they needed a place where they could gather to get out of the winds and the rain. And so they decided to pool their funds and so that they could see what they needed or what they had in order to build a building. And they might pool their funds or they might give something as far as materials to use for the building of the building, whatever the case. But there was this one man that was poor. He didn't have anything really. And in talking with the elders of the tribe or the village or whatever the case may have been, he told them, I have nothing to give. So, well, tomorrow, the elders said, well, tomorrow what we're going to do is whatever someone has to give, we're drawing a circle in the middle of the village and they're going to put what they have to give in that circle. The next day, at the appointed time, when they got together, the man was in the circle. He was giving himself to that work. Friends, how many of us, when it comes to our giving,
Have we truly given ourselves to the Lord? Because when we do that, when we have given ourselves to the Lord, when we give ourselves wholly to Him, then it's not going to be a hard deal to open my wallet and to give to God. Because it's not mine to begin with. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But we have an example to follow in the Savior, don't we? God gave us life. What is a little money to give back unto God? Let me ask you this. How many of you would like to sow bountifully so that you may reap bountifully? The farmer that sows little, how much will he reap? Little. Farmer that sows much, though, what will he reap? Much. And that principle is given throughout the pages of the Bible, isn't it? The principle is given specifically, as we see in the New Testament. But we also see 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, that part of that, friends, is as we've purposed in our heart. When we give back to the Lord, now friends, if you did this particular thing this morning, I ask you, please, examine your heart. How many of us this morning just opened up our wallet and we gave what we had left at the end of the week? Friends, that's not giving as God has called upon us to give. And yet too many of us do that. We've gone and done this, this, or this throughout the course of the week, or maybe the course of the whenever our pay periods are, whether they're bi-weekly or weekly, whatever the case may be, but we've gone through our paycheck, and here we've got our 20 left at the end of this, and so that's what I'm going to put in the plate. Friends, that's not how we are to give. Paul says to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, that we are to purpose, we need to have a set amount in our minds already. According to what Paul says here, set or a purpose in our heart. We should plan in advance how much we're going to give. And friends, our contribution, when should we consider it? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our contribution, friends, our giving should receive priority in our spending. So we need a purpose in our heart. We need to give ourselves to the Lord, friends. Not only that, also chapter 9 and verse 7, we need to give cheerfully, not begrudgingly. Friends, by giving as we've prospered, we're not laying up treasures here on earth, but in heaven. If we do this God's way. And friends, consider that Christians, that you and I are stewards of everything that God has given us. What does it mean to be a steward? What that means, friends, is you're not the owner, but the keeper. You understand that? You are not the owner, but the keeper. The steward of a vineyard did not own the vineyard, but rather he was the keeper of the vineyard. He was the one that dressed it. He was the one that took care of it. And then he was rewarded based on how good of care he took of that vineyard and what crop he was able to give to his master, to the owner. Friends, you are a steward of everything that God has given you. Your home, your car, your money. If we look at it properly, none of those things really belong to me. They might belong to me in the eyes of the U.S. government. They might belong to me in the eyes of the world, friends, but in the eyes of God, and if I look at it right, if I look at it like I ought to, then it doesn't belong to me in my eyes. It belongs to God. I'm simply a steward of what God has given me. Some of us need to do better at our stewardship. And friends, as I say that, I think of myself. We all do. We need to do better in our stewardship. We're going to have to give an account. Have you ever thought about that? Of how we have managed what God has given us? That's part of us giving an account of our lives, isn't it? God gave us our life. We're a steward of this life. We're going to have to give an account of that. Friends, you look at the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, and we see this illustration of stewardship becoming clear there. You have the five-talent man, the two-talent man, and the one-talent man. You're familiar with the parable, I'm sure. Five-talent man went out and doubled his. The two-talent man went out and doubled his. The one-talent man, he wanted to just to be out. He was scared of his master. He knew that the master reaped where he had not sowed. And so he said, to be safe, I'm going to go bury it in the ground and I'll just be able to return the one talent to him. He didn't use his ability. He didn't use his stewardship as he should have, and that man was cast out, and the master said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, all that anyone has, it belongs to God. My time, my talent, my money, it belongs to the Father. It's His anyway. And friends, when we have that attitude, when we can understand that better, then we won't have a problem giving. Especially when we have four needs, as have been mentioned this morning. Friends, let's put away our Bibles. Now let's take out our song, but we're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Now understand that the plate has already been passed this morning. But friends, it's still the first day of the week. We're still in the assembly. You still have an opportunity to give. As it is mentioned, if you want to help one of these four works, you can give a check to one of the elders, or you can present it to the veteran. Just be sure that you earmark where it needs to go. You can either earmark it above and beyond, and the elders can see where that money needs to go among these four, or you can specifically earmark it to which one you want it to go. But friends, we need your help. We're asking you to give and to help us in these needs, even as Paul asked the Corinthians to help with the needs of the Christians in Judea and Jerusalem. There are folks that need the gospel in Jamaica. There are folks that need it in the Solomon Islands. There are folks that need it in New Zealand. There are folks that need it in Pakistan. And friends, there are blind the world over that need to hear the gospel. Would you help us in that endeavor? But friend, as I am a preacher of the gospel, it's my duty to help folks understand what is their duty to God. And if you are here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, friend, if you have never put Christ on in baptism, you have the duty to become a Christian. God is not willing that any should perish, friend, but if you are lost, then God's justness will not allow you to enter into heaven. You have a need for Christ. You have a need for God. Why not this morning take advantage of the invitation that is offered? Take the time to put Christ on in baptism. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of sin, confessing Him, and being immersed in water. You, friend, can become a Christian. You can be one of God's children and follow the pattern that is given for all mankind. Friend, it may be that you're here having obeyed the gospel, but you haven't given yourself wholly to the Lord. Maybe at one time you did, but for whatever reason you wanted part of yourself back, friends. You're lost too. Come home. Give yourself to Him. Wholly. We sing the song sometimes. The song begins, all of self and none of thee. If you remember the end, the last verse of those says, none of self and all of thee. Friends, which would you be this morning? If you sit here this morning in a lost condition and you know it and you walk out those doors without responding to this invitation, friends, you're saying to God, all of self and none of thee. But friend, if you would put aside your selfish pride, if you would walk with God, be one with Him, then you can sing and sing honestly, none of self and all of thee. Friend, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.